Today is Sunday, November 13th, 2016, and this...
Hang on. I think in these dark times, we need a little grace and a little beauty.
Yeah.
Let's Bellagio this sucker, huh?
Let's do it.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 576.
Las Vegas, Nevada!
Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm ready to talk about Vegas. How are you?
I, too, am ready to talk about Vegas. Ah, shit.
Motherfucker.
No, I got it.
Oh, okay.
The Viator theme was just about to play, and I stopped it just in time. We almost had a technical emergency.
Oh, okay.
What a shock that would have been.
I was ready for you to start the show for a fourth time.
Oh, my God. It's one of those days.
Also, I'm sweary.
Oh, fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you swear away. There's no censorship via the FCC because we're not on radio. So you can curse and curse and curse until you're cursing.
God damn it, I will.
Oh, there you go. All right. So before we jump into the news, we should wish everyone who's running in the Las Vegas Rock and Roll Marathon who might be listening to our show our best wishes.
Yes.
Sometimes, so I don't know, it's tonight, so there's a chance some people will be listening to the show while running, which has happened in the past.
If you are, good luck.
So perhaps we will offer words of encouragement.
If you're not, good luck.
During the show, as we've been known to do in the past. So good luck, we hope that you're doing well, and if you're already running, you know, unless you're in the lead, don't piss yourself, go somewhere and take care of that. You can tell
and other things.
That's my biggest concern about marathons is that people soil themselves while running. It just disturbs me. All right, with that, let's move on. We have some interesting things to talk about this week that are unusual, not the typical show openings and closings, but some different stuff. Let's start with the election on Tuesday. There was an election nationwide. You may have heard about it, and one of the things that happened during that was that the voters in the fine state of Nevada voted 54-46% to legalize recreational marijuana.
Hooray!
Question two, as it was referred to on the ballot. So I thought we would talk about this a little bit and exactly what it means, specifically for Las Vegas and tourists who might want to enjoy the effects of the marijuana arts while they're in Las Vegas. Why is it that the word partake is only used for marijuana? You never hear anybody except for marijuana users use the word partake. Do you partake? It's such a horrible word, too. Anyway, moving along. So here's what the law. You have no theories on that word?
No.
Okay. Here's what's going to happen. On January 1st of 2017, just a couple months away, it will be legal for adults 21 and over to possess less than an ounce of marijuana. Smoking in public will still not be allowed, so you're not going to be able to walk down the strip puffing away on a big old Bob Marley joint, as you might want to do. You're smiling like you're here. Are you happy about this news?
No, I'm just amused by your use of Bob Marley joint being...
It's from Caddyshack.
Uh-huh.
There's a $600 fine if you do choose to smoke in public and get busted for it.
Hmm.
The thing is, the state still needs to develop regulations and licensing for recreational marijuana products and sales. So the January 1st thing, you know, if you've got it and, you know, you're okay, but you're not going to necessarily be able to buy it yet recreationally.
Mm-hmm.
So
legally.
Right, legally. It could take up to a year. So January 1st, 2018 is the deadline for the state to set forth all of its rules and licensing. And then conceivably, it could take another several months for the companies that are granted a license to actually begin selling recreationally. Now, in some states, like Oregon, I guess, they grandfathered in the states that, or the states, the dispensaries that were selling medical marijuana, which may very well happen here as well, which could speed up the process. So I guess in that state, they were able to begin selling within just a few months of the law passing. So this 2018 thing, it probably won't take that long. Clark County, because of its population, yes?
Will it possibly be legal in, say, October 2017?
It could.
That could be interesting.
Uh-huh. Clark County, where Las Vegas and the Las Vegas Strip are located, will have up to 80 stores. It's based on population, and of course, that's the most populated area of the state. So up to 80 dispensaries. There are already a bunch for medical, and there's a pretty good chance that most or all of those will be okayed for recreational sales as well. In fact, some have already been branching out. There's one that is either open or will be opening soon right near SLS, which was clearly put there because of the proximity to tourists. So there's been some discussion on our Facebook group about this, and some people have wondered which of the major resorts is going to immediately take advantage of this and have an entire hotel floor that's, you know,
weed friendly,
not just smoke, although more and more hotels are going no smoking now. But the speculation is, well, they could have a couple floors that are just for marijuana users. They might have a marijuana lounge. That's not going to happen anytime soon because it's still illegal under federal law. And the Gaming Control Board has made it very clear that they expect the holders of gaming licenses in the state to comply with all state and federal laws and that they should not.
So you won't be comped any weed.
You will, no, and you will not be encouraged or, you know, you're not going to be encouraged to smoke it on their premises. So they will not be getting involved anytime soon.
So edibles are the way to go?
I would say that would be the easier way if you are looking to consume as a tourist. So that's
also,
the scoop
you
on
don't,
that.
You don't want to leave your room skunky for the next occupant.
Who wants that? That's just not nice.
It's you just want to common be a, courtesy.
Right. You want to be a good neighbor. Plus, you'll probably end up getting a nice big charge on your bill if you've been smoking in your room, and it's obvious. So a lot of the companies that own resorts on the Strip publicly supported the no vote on this as well. So that's more another indication that they're not going to be jumping in and opening dispensaries on site or doing anything that would possibly upset the Gaming Control Board. And
but we all know it's Cosmo, right? If somebody was gonna do something freaky, it would be Cosmo.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought about it like that, but I guess so. Yeah, it's not gonna happen, but yeah.
No, it's not. But if
now,
it were,
speaking of Cosmo, now do they take advantage of this unofficially by jacking up the rates of their rooms because they have the terraces?
Oh yeah,
which are obviously a place where you're not as likely to have any problems if you shut your terrace door and go out there and smoke. I'm sure it happens all the time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So do they, I suppose, I don't know. I don't know that the demand is going to be that much higher, but I'm sure people will be thinking about these things as they book rooms if they are seeking to smoke while they are
if they're seeking
Vegas.
To partake.
I just don't like that word. I don't know why.
Is it because it's old-timey?
No, I don't mind. You know me, I don't mind old-timey terms. I say Great Caesar's Ghost all the time. Okay, moving along. Very quick note here. For people who are interested in the status of the hockey team, the NHL team that will be playing at T-Mobile beginning next year, T-Mobile Arena, they have a name and logo that will be unveiled on November 22nd. We don't know much about it other than it's going to be the Something Knights. That was kind of the dread. It could be the Silver Knights or the Desert Knights or something like that. Unless they've changed course, but though that seemed to be the direction that the owners were going previously and based on some of the trademarks that they've registered and things like that. So we shall see. I'm sure that whatever they announce, there will be about 62% of the people who are up in arms that it's not what they had hoped for. And please don't start another discussion on the Facebook group about what you think it should be called, because there are already like 17 of those from the past 5 years. Every possible amusing Vegas-related name has already been...
It's been done.
It's already
or
been
thrown
done.
Out anyway. Yeah.
Okay, so that's hockey. Last week we talked about transportation a little bit, and specifically the Las Vegas monorail and how they were using the new prospects of an NFL stadium to justify the extension to Mandalay Bay.
Monorail, monorail, it's bound to fail. I don't know why I just felt like singing that.
Wow. You haven't had a new little jingle in a while.
I have not.
I appreciate you throwing that out there. Next time there's monorail news, maybe I'll...
Oh, please don't.
No, okay. I won't. Well, I might. We'll see. Depends what kind of mood I'm in on that day.
Anyway, I have one song.
It's a good song. You've gotten a lot of mileage out of it on this podcast. All right. So anyway, we talked about the monorail and the NFL stadium and how there might be they're looking at extending to Mandalay Bay, and the NFL stadium is proposed for near Mandalay Bay, that it makes sense in the eyes of the monorail people that they should get an extension in addition to some other things like the convention centers all being linked, blah, blah, blah. In addition to that, there's some additional news related to transportation and the NFL stadium, which may never happen. The people behind Express West, we haven't talked about them in a long time. That's the company that's been planning to build a high-speed rail line between Southern California and Las Vegas for about the last 37 decades, I think. Mm-hmm. I think they started planning this sometime in the late 1600s or early 1700s. Their dream is still alive, and they are now getting on board the stadium justification train, so to speak. Wow. They want to build a station near the stadium site, which, as I said, it's across I-15 from Mandalay Bay. This thing has been on again, off again. I can't believe the company, it might be one guy. I don't even know what this Express West is at this point. I can't imagine that they have a whole office full of people who've been working on this non-project for so long. But anyway, the high-speed rail line would be an $8 billion project. That's a lot of dough. Of course, they have not yet raised that fundage for building the line. Otherwise, it would have already begun.
Right.
Most recently, when we talked about them, it was because their funding partner, which was a Chinese company, broke away and decided not to be part of this any longer. And, of course, as always, there's always the update whenever we talk about a story like this. They are seeking new funding sources.
Of course they are.
So good luck. You and the people from Elon are... working on that real hard. So
what about the guy from Parabounce?
And Parabounce and any number of other things. This one I've been skeptical of for a long time just because it's been around forever and hasn't really made any progress. But I'm becoming increasingly skeptical of Elon happening. I don't know.
I want it to happen.
I kind of do, but I don't really. Then a part of me is like, meh, we're not going to hang out there. I just want to see new shiny stuff. I want to see more development. So, yes. I guess in that light, I do. I'd rather
see
something.
I want to see the North Strip revitalized.
As do I. We have to start, it's still a month away, more than a month away, but we'll have that'll probably be part of my.
Your Vegas wishes?
2017 Vegas wishes. I'll start thinking about those things and maybe some of the North Strip stuff, as it usually does, will factor in. Okay, anyway, kind of off track there. So that's the off track. Wow, I'm just throwing out these train references inadvertently during this stupid high-speed rail. Let's move along, shall we? Okay, this next news item, I decided the easiest way to talk about it would be to actually play the audio from a television news report that came out a couple days ago.
Which station?
This is from Las Vegas 8 News Now.
Okay.
So this is about Neonopolis, downtown Las Vegas, and some developments there.
Speaking of things you're skeptical about.
We'll pause it and talk about it as we go. This is about a 2.5-minute thing, but we'll stretch it out to about 40 minutes. All right, here we go.
The resurgence of downtown Las Vegas is helping to fill a shopping complex that's had its share of ups and downs. Neonopolis was once a Galaxy 11 movie theater, a gay nightclub, but it struggled really to stay afloat. The 300,000 square foot facility is now 41% occupied with...
Ooh, 41%! Bravo, Neonopolis! This is the good news? This is what we're having a news story about? 41% full? It's 15 years old and they're 41% full and that's worth a news story and celebration? Okay. This place, as I've said many times, biggest waste of space. Okay, I'm going to hold off on some of my...
On some of your Neonopolis rage?
Yeah, I have some thoughts.
6 new retailers in just the last few months. Sheree Johnson talked to many of the businesses today and shares what's ahead for that space.
It's modern, it's new, it's exciting.
The Neonopolis is hundreds of thousands of square feet of food, beverage, and entertainment.
We are the front lines of the battle against anorexia.
Okay, that's the guy from Heart Attack Grill. That's his whole shtick.
Right here on Fremont Street at Neonopolis.
Of 35 spaces, 20 are filled with local businesses like Beef Jerky, owned by Steven Natura. Something wrong. Who also runs a Hawaiian Welcome Center next door.
The Hawaiian Welcome Center is a big empty storefront space with like folding tables, like just and a little band playing in the corner.
Even throw any Lay's up or anything.
There's nothing. Maybe they just opened and haven't had time to decorate, but it's there's nothing to it. But apparently you can go there and be welcomed. So, I don't know if that'll be a big gathering spot on your way to and from the Beef Jerky store.
And the California.
And the Cal, yeah.
You feel like family when you come over here. We don't care where you're from.
New businesses also include the Fremont Arcade that features everything from the world's largest Pac-Man to a Game of Thrones pinball machine.
This is kind of like our little baby. This came out of our private collection, and it's something that people are always wowed by.
But the newest and largest addition to the Neonopolis opens its first phase next Friday, a 15,000-square-foot esports arena that will also hold matches and house a studio for streaming. We talked to the CEO, Alex Eagleman, in Canada by phone.
Someone is playing a game, he's talking about what he's doing in the game, and then there's people chatting with him. There could be a moderator as well that's answering, or the person himself may be typing while he's playing it.
All while millions of people around the world are watching.
It is an iconic building, it has a lot of potential, and it's very attractive.
Okay.
Okay, you know who's not going to be in those millions of people watching?
Not even that. I'm waiting to see how this e-gaming thing ends up doing long-term. But I mean, I'm skeptical, but I'm waiting to see how it does.
Like long-term as a business overall, not just in Neonopolis. Yeah.
But that clown that they were talking to by phone from Canada, and the reason I call him a clown is just that last statement he made. First of all, he's in Canada. I suspect he's never been to Neonopolis.
Because
if he had, he would not refer to that building as either attractive or iconic.
No.
Iconic gets thrown around like crazy right now. That's a PR thing that is slapped on everything. If it's been around for more than a year and a half, it's considered iconic.
No, few things are. Like the Bellagio fountains. I consider them.
That would be iconic. But not Neonopolis.
No.
It's a den of sadness. And how in what possible way would anybody consider Neonopolis iconic? No, it's not.
An iconic failure?
That it is, but...
How do you feel about the pinball?
I'm curious to see it. I hope that it does well. I like the idea of having an arcade there because, you know, that's kind of a fading thing. And for those of us who like to play pinball and video games and stuff, you know, Insert Coins didn't exactly do a scorching business. Slightly different business model, obviously, but we shall see. I don't know.
Are nostalgic for that.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out. I don't know long term how it'll do. Mm-hmm. But
how do you feel about the Game of Thrones pinball machine?
Are there ice dragons?
There might be some realms.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not quite over yet. The best part is still coming up.
Ooh.
And as we are out here live, I want you to check out another one of the newest attractions here at the Neonopolis. This is the Little Neon Chapel, where you can have real weddings and even fake weddings to scare your family. But also, this chapel is the only chapel on Fremont.
I just thought of something. What about the weddings at Denny's? Remember that?
Yeah.
So technically, that's a chapel, even though it's probably only been used like 4 times for that. And that's in the same damn building. They should know this.
And get this, coming in 2018, 2019, the Neonopolis will also welcome a roller coaster and even a wave pool on its roof.
No,
pretty
it
cool.
Won't.
A lot of growth.
No,
we'll keep you posted.
No, okay. No, that's not. Neither of those things are happening. Neither of those are as likely to happen as the previous announced projects like the Liberace Museum moving in and the Star Trek Experience moving in after it closed at Las Vegas Hilton, a roller coaster. Now, I don't know if they were talking about a roller coaster on the roof and a wave pool on the roof, or if it's a wave pool on the roof and a roller coaster elsewhere. Where would they put it?
I can think of nothing more structurally sound than a wave pool on the roof.
I don't see any of this happening. That's why they've said 2018 or 2019, because they know it's a bullshit. And this buys them, you know, 3 years of bullshit before they decide it's not plausible to do this. Ridiculous. So I'm giving that. It's not a rumor watch. This is a thing that they're planning on doing, but I'm still going to give it the percentage. I'm giving the wave pool on the roof a 7%, mm-hmm. and the roller coaster a 1.8%. Those are my. That's my assessment of this ever happening.
Hmm. Why do you give the wave pool a higher percentage than the roller coaster?
I don't know. Roller coaster is probably more expensive. Although, I don't know. You can't just throw a wave pool up on the roof of a building. It has to be structurally built for that, or at least capable of handling a certain amount of weight. And so stupid. So then the other thing I was thinking of, so Neonopolis is well over a decade of failure and doing nothing impressive and blah, blah, blah. Even with that, if it were to be announced tomorrow that was being torn down, there would be a handful of people who would be all up in arms about it, because change is scary. Anything in Las Vegas changes, I'm going to really miss it. No, you are not. Nobody's going to miss it. Nobody cares about it. It's not going away, but...
But if it were...
Somebody would be upset by it. Because one time they had a really good time at one of the venues that's not... At Jillian's, which hasn't been open for like 12 years.
We drank at Denny's once.
We did. Did we have one round?
We had one round.
And that was right after it opened, and... Mm-hmm. Sure was fun. I wonder how that Denny's is doing. They probably are doing okay, but, you know, you don't see a lot of people. As we've mentioned before, part of the problem with Neonopolis, a big part is that everything is inward-facing, mm-hmm. which you don't really even know what's there unless you decide to venture in and look around, which, you know, shopping malls are like that, but it's not the most welcoming structure in the world. So I'm hesitant to... I'd love to see the businesses all do well. Mm-hmm. We don't want to see anything fail. But do we really think that a wedding chapel, which we know how that worked out at the Pawn Plaza, having a wedding chapel.
I forgot that was even there.
Right. So a wedding, they're turning into a snack shop.
Oh, that's right. That's the gummy guy.
Yeah. So do we really think a wedding chapel and a beef jerky store are going to do super well at Neonopolis? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe this e-gaming thing is going to bring in so many people that it will do... gangbusters, but I don't know. That's a long-term thing. They better have money to support it because it's not like they're going to open the doors and suddenly it's going to be super popular. They've got to build a business there, and I don't know. We'll see, but I just was so amused by that report, parts of it. Calling it iconic, that is just a little too much. This is why I get so frustrated with the Vegas media and the PR machine there. Mm-hmm. Just layers of just bullshit. You really expect anybody to believe that anything you say when you call Neonopolis attractive and iconic? No.
Nope.
Okay. So that's Neonopolis news. We have a report on our Facebook group from Chris that Itsy Bitsy Ramen and Whiskey has closed its kitchen. You can no longer get ramen there.
Whiskey?
Yep, apparently he stopped by and there's a sign on the door that the restaurant part has closed. The bar is going to remain open on weekends for now, but I wouldn't expect that to last long. Most likely it will be changing names and...
Concepts
and probably, I don't know, maybe it'll shut down completely. That spot has been... there's been a couple things there. Nothing has lasted that long in the Ogden building, where that is.
When that first opened, I was intrigued, but we never made it there.
We walked by a few times and just never made it in. So
we're usually walking by, either it's closed or
it's the morning or something. Yeah. I never have maybe it's just because I'm not really a huge, I don't know. I'm not that familiar with ramen as mm-hmm. a great thing. And I haven't tried it. I'd like to, but we just never made it over there. So one other restaurant note before we move along. There's a new restaurant that has opened in Venetian. It's been there's been work there underway for quite a while. It's the former V-Bar space, which is right there at the kind of the close to the entrance of the Restaurant Row area at Venetian and Palazzo. It's called Sugar Cane. It's a concept from Miami. They have another location there. It's small plates. Their shtick is they have three kitchens. One is an open fire grill, one is a raw bar, and one is a traditional kitchen. Hmm. So a lot of seafood on the menu. They have sushi and sashimi, oysters, a lot of seafood, then chicken, steak. Pretty wide variety for a menu. It looks like an interesting place. I would maybe consider checking it out, or at least, you know, if we get some good reviews on it. Mm-hmm. SugarcaneRawBarGrill.com is the place you can go if you want to take a look at the full menu and prices and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, we look forward to any reviews if anybody checks it out in the coming months. I don't think we ever got a single call or review or anything on V-Bar. It was there for a long time, and it was kind of a nightclub-y thing, I think. Or I don't know, maybe it was a loungy thing. I don't know. We never really heard much about it. I remember seeing it.
It was, yeah, I remember the sign.
I remember hearing music coming out from there, but I don't really know much about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, apparently nobody went there, so that's why it closed. All right. Let's talk about our friends at
Viator. Viator. It gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm sad to report that winter is on the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming soon. So with winter, it's time to escape if you live in a location like we do that has seasons. We're having a very nice fall, but winter is bound to show up any day now, and then we will get grumpy like we're not already.
Oh, right.
And then we will want to leave. And one of the things that Viator can help you do is figure out where to go. They've got all kinds of stuff that can make your vacation better wherever you decide to go. Sometimes I like to look at the Viator website and ponder vacation options, and then we end up just going to Las Vegas. But you know, if you're thinking about going somewhere else that's warm, check out Viator. There might be an experience or an attraction or a tour or something in another city that inspires you to book a trip. And once you do have your trip booked, that's the place to go for all those things I just mentioned and show tickets and all kinds of other stuff. One of the nice things about Viator is they do extensive screening of all of the tour operators that they work with, so you know that they're reputable. You don't have to go to a million different websites. You can just go to Viator and you can book all your tours and attractions and shows in one place. If you're going to Las Vegas, hey, they've got a ton of stuff there too. You can try something new. They've got helicopter tours, driving experiences, Grand Canyon trips, all kinds of great stuff, daytime and nighttime. It's an awesome, awesome way to make your trip better. Check out Viator.com. Of course, you can download their apps for the iPad, iPhone, Android, blah, blah, blah. Those are great too. And if you're going to book something through the website, click on our banner at 500bymidnight.com before booking, and we get extra credit points from Viator. Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, and thank you to you guys for supporting them. Okay, so we're doing something a little different this week. Instead of phone calls, we're going to hold off on our phone calls until next week. Okay. And I decided we would talk about a new resort and casino coming to the Near Strip area. This was by request from a friend of ours who said it would be nice to hear you guys talk about it. And I said, okay, we can do that for you. Lucky Dragon is scheduled to open on December 3rd. However, there have been reports that it could be opening much sooner. Las Vegas Advisor at one point said they had heard November 19th for a soft opening. Hmm. But then they backed off that and just said sometime before Thanksgiving. And then somebody else, another, I think it was Las Vegas Weekly, said sometime toward the end of the month they'd probably be doing an opening. So December 3rd is the grand opening date, but you might be able to get in ahead of that if you're interested in checking it out. So I thought we would talk about what we know about this place, because it hasn't gotten a ton of publicity, and we've talked about it, but it's been piecemeal as we learn new things. And I thought, let's talk about everything we know right now about Lucky Dragon. So the property is going to be located on Sahara Boulevard near SLS, just west of Las Vegas Boulevard by about, I don't know, probably a block or two. Mm-hmm. It's not, shouldn't be an inconvenient walk if you're already at SLS, which is nice.
If you're already at SLS.
That's, exactly. Getting to SLS is the tough part. And then, you know, stroll. Or maybe the thing is, maybe you go to Lucky Dragon and then go, oh, we're here, we might as well go to SLS. That's here, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see. It depends on your point of view. The thing about Lucky Dragon that's different from other Las Vegas Strip and Strip-adjacent resorts is that it is not catering to your typical tourist. It is catering very much to Asians and Asian Americans more than anything else. And they're not straying from that. At least upon opening, they're not straying from that at all in terms of what they're offering. They want the Chinese gamblers in, and that's their whole shtick. And you can see it without even going there. Go to their website or their Facebook page, and everything that they post on there is in Chinese first and then English afterwards. Huh. So they're making Chinese their first priority. And I guess all the menus and signs and everything in the property is like that too. Everything is in Chinese, and then English is underneath it. So that alone is unusual for a Las Vegas resort. And then apparently all the employees, at least all of them that will have contact with customers, are going to be fluent in Chinese dialects. So that's pretty impressive too. Let's talk about the hotel side of things first. It's a very small hotel, just over 200 rooms and suites.
So if you're staying there, you're not going to have a long walk to your room.
Nope. Tiny little boutique hotel, which is probably a good way to go for a niche property like this. You know, if they were to try to open a 3,000-room hotel, I don't think it would be beneficial for them to cater to a small niche market like they're doing. They're not going to fill that up with that type of guest. Whereas with this, you know, they can really focus in 200 rooms. Yeah, that's probably a little bit more doable. Not that everybody who stays there is going to be Chinese or, you know, but that's what they're looking for. That's who they're looking to please. So, okay, so the rooms, the standard rooms, they have king rooms and double rooms. King rooms are 415 square feet. Double rooms are slightly smaller, between 351 and 369 square feet. They have junior suites that are about 500 square feet. And then their regular suites are between 612 square feet and the penthouse, which is 1,300 square feet. So not huge rooms, but those are pretty decent, I guess, by Vegas standards, at least the king and the junior suites. The standard double room, that seems small to me, 351 to 369 square feet. But anyway, they do have a resort fee of $18, which, you know, that's par for the course these days. Among the things you get for staying there, and some of these are part of the resort fee and some of them are part of your room fee, it doesn't matter, you're paying regardless. So free tea in all rooms. So the tea is a big thing. We'll talk about that in a minute when we get to restaurants. Free Wi-Fi as part of the resort fee. They have foreign electrical adapters. Again, I'm not aware of any Las Vegas hotel that has those standard in their rooms. The initial standard room rates are pretty wide-ranging. The first couple of weeks, it's $488 for their standard king room pretty much every night. But looking out a little bit more, they drop. In December, there are weekdays that are about $188. And then looking out even farther, no, I noticed that 88 thing because I know isn't 8 that's a lucky number in China. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool that all their prices are something 88. That's kind of a neat shtick. Mm-hmm. That only goes through January 12th for some reason. And then maybe it'll change later on. But once you get past January 12th, then it's like 149 and 199. So they didn't really continue that shtick out farther. I don't know why. So as I mentioned, you look at March and April and you can get rooms. Most of them are between 149 and 199. Some of the weekends are higher. Early March, they had a couple nights that were $99 each. So if you want to check out a brand new resort, fairly cheap, $99 the first couple of days of March as of last night or this morning or whenever I put this together. So that is the hotel. Of course, all the rooms are very, the decor is very Asian themed. The casino, it's relatively small, 27,500 square feet of casino space. And I was trying to figure out what that's comparable to. On the Strip, there's not much in terms of that size. Casino Royale is about 22,000 square feet. So it's a little bit bigger than Casino Royale.
Okay.
It's closer to Hooters or Four Queens. Now, Four Queens, I would have guessed is bigger. But I think the thing about that is that they have so much stuff crammed in that space.
Oh, yeah.
And at Lucky Dragon, that's not going to be the case because they're totally into the feng shui thing with all of their design and layout. So I would imagine you take something like Four Queens and strip out about two-thirds of the machines and tables. It's probably not going to feel quite as large in there. So 27,500 square feet. They're planning on having about 37 table games and 300 slot machines. Again, not a real high number. The table games will not be your usual. They will have some blackjack, but it's going to skew much more toward the Asian games like Pai Gow and Baccarat. So again, if you're interested in playing those kind of games, Lucky Dragon's going to be a good place to check out. Food is always important. The restaurant lineup at Lucky Dragon consists of 5 restaurants. All of them are Asian-themed. They have Dragon Alley, which is Beijing street food, Pearl Ocean, which is dim sum, Phoenix, which is going to be their fine dining, trendy upscale restaurant, Their 24-hour shop is called Bao Now. That's 24-hour simple dim sum soups, rice, noodles. The description of this is that it's they do have some seating, but the food is meant to travel throughout all areas of the resort.
Huh.
So I don't know if they're thinking that people will take it and eat around, like in different public open areas around the casino, not necessarily their room. I'm curious exactly how that will work. Because usually you're not encouraged necessarily to set up shop and slurp down some soup anywhere in a property. But apparently that's what they're thinking with this. And then finally, kind of a novel thing is Cha Garden, which is a tea lounge. It's kind of, think of a beer garden at any other property and replace the beer with tea. They're going to have Las Vegas's first ever tea sommelier.
Ooh, interesting.
So if you're really into teas, this is going to be a destination for you. Apparently at night, the pool cabanas turn into private tea huts as well.
I just like the name Private Tea Huts.
Private Tea Huts. I kind of like that concept. So, which is kind of cool because, you know, a lot of times Las Vegas resorts, they have really nice pool areas completely wasted at night. Maybe they'll have a special event there or something, but a lot of times they're just shut down. Kind of cool if they can use the area around the pool for something other than, you know, other than lounging. So Private Tea Huts. A couple other things. There is no nightclub. Again, different from a lot of the newer properties on the strip these days.
So you don't have to worry about oonts when you're staying there.
True. It shouldn't be super loud. There's nothing else around there either in terms of properties that would throw off a lot of noise.
Oonts.
Yeah. So that's probably good. I mean, I think it's far enough away from SLS where you're not going to get a lot of noise from there.
Mm-hmm.
They do have, as I mentioned, a small swimming pool. It's not going to be like a huge Mandalay Bay wave pool type situation, but
on the roof.
But I don't know where the swimming pool is located at. It could be. There are rooftop pools.
There are.
I don't know. I'm not sure about the swimming pool. I don't think it is.
No.
And then they have a spa that's 4,500 square feet of space as well. So those are some of the amenities they have. So I'm looking forward to checking this out. I'm looking forward to our listeners checking it out and providing reviews possibly as soon as a week or two. And yeah, let us know what you think when you check it out.
Yeah, I'd like to at least walk through and hang out a little bit.
Yeah, we'll go hang out. And oh, so one of the cool things, the casino, this was this week, they put out a video, and I'm not sure if it actually was installed this week or if they just issued the video this week, a time lapse of this glass dragon sculpture being installed above the casino floor. The casino is a pagoda shape, mm-hmm. and in the middle they have a bar. Again, everything looks very clean, and it looks like it fits because of the whole feng shui thing and feeling good about your spaces and all that. So the middle of the casino, they've got a, I don't know if it's actually round or if it's like an octagon or what, but kind of a roundish casino bar. And above that, from the center of this pagoda, is this cool glass dragon statue that they hung up. And they did a time lapse of them installing that.
So are you pro-dragon or anti-dragon?
I'm anti-actual dragons, but...
Wait, there are no actual dragons.
I'm anti-dragon lore.
Okay.
But... a dragon sculpture in the middle of a casino. Like, I loved, and this, there's no comparison between this and Imperial Palace. Imperial Palace was schlocky, themey. This is like authentic culture.
Uh-huh.
But I loved that they had like little dragon
like things the wood up
on
sculptures.
The, yeah, the little sculpture things on the ceiling. So that's kind of cool. But so, but I don't want to see any sort of storyline that involves people being afraid of dragons.
Okay.
That's my stance. I know it's very complex. I'm a very complex person. You know that. You live with
me. I just wanted to clarify.
I appreciate that clarification. But the I was wondering why you were looking like, why are you so into this glass dragon sculpture? I know. It's cool, though. I will show you the video. I'll try to, maybe I'll link to the video in the show notes if I remember as well. So there you go. Maybe someday it will be considered iconic.
Maybe.
Much like Neonopolis, only more so. LuckyDragonLV.com is the website. There, it's still kind of a... it's not the greatest website in the world. You have to kind of hunt for some of the information. I'm hoping they improve that. Like, for to get the room information, you had to... I actually had to act like I was booking a room to get to the room descriptions.
Oh.
Usually there's a hotel tab, and you can look at the room descriptions. That is not the case right now. So they need to fix up their website a little bit. But I would imagine once it opens, they'll probably do some work on it and whip it into shape. So there you go. Please call us if you stay there, especially. I'd love to hear how the rooms are, how your overall experience was at Lucky Dragon once it opens. And this is the first new, it's not quite strip, but we're going to say strip because it's close enough. first new ground up strip, ground up, first new resort being built from the ground up since Cosmopolitan. The others have been renovations of, you know, maybe massive renovations like SLS and the Cromwell, but we haven't seen anything that's been built from scratch in quite a while. So something fun and something different. And again, it's certainly not aimed at us as an audience, but mm-hmm. I like the fact they're doing something so
targeted, different.
Yeah, so niche and so targeted. And, you know, maybe it's, you know, here's where I'm being more hypocritical, because I just said that I have very little interest in Alon.
Mm-hmm.
My interest in Alon, maybe it's because I don't know. I feel like I shouldn't have that much of an interest in this either. And mm-hmm. I don't think that we will hang out there or stay there. We'll go and check it out once or twice, and that'll be about it, unless we want to go to a restaurant or something. But Alon, I feel, and again, I don't know that much about it because they've barely announced anything. I just feel like it's going to be super shishy and exclusive, and they don't even want us there. That's my impression of that place. Whereas this, I feel like everybody's welcome. It's just not necessarily directed at you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. But anyway, this is the one we get to talk about and look at now. So let's take a look at Lucky Dragon and see if it's fun. Okay, with that, let's talk about the listener purchase of the week. Thank you to everybody who's been using our Amazon link before buying stuff. Of course, gift giving season is coming up, so please use our Amazon link before buying stuff. We get a small percentage. You don't have to spend anything extra. It's an easy way to support the podcast. This week's item of the week is the Extreme Porno Graffiti 25 Metal Meltdown Blu-ray. Extreme, the band. You probably know them from More Than Words, but they're much more rockin' than More Than Words.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Gary Cherone, Nuno Bettencourt. Love that band. I'm kind of regretting not going to see the 25th anniversary Porno Graffiti tour when it came through town.
Aww.
But I can relive it on Blu-ray if I so choose. And this was recorded at the Hard Rock.
And you don't even have to put on pants.
That's true. That's true, which is always a benefit. This was recorded at the Hard Rock in Vegas, too, so there is a Vegas tie-in. So I will link to that in the show notes. Of course, if you're going to buy anything on Amazon, click through that link on our website, and we love you for it. Karma donations. We've got a handful of those this week as well. Recurring monthly donations from Brian, Tom, and Kelly.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much. We do appreciate your ongoing support. We got a karma donation from Ben from the UK. He said, call what you want, a karma donation or an appreciation donation. Either way, keep up the good work, and here's hoping for a break-even or better November 20th trip for my dad's retirement.
Oh, good luck.
Have a great time, and congratulations to your dad.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. A name that I will probably mispronounce, as I think I've done before.
She told you how to pronounce it at the end.
Okay, you pronounce it then. You do this. Because there's multiple ways, even with that pronunciation.
Oh, okay, because she doesn't have the accent symbol on which...
Right.
Okay. I'm going to say Shazia.
I would say Shazia as well. Let's hope we got that right, because she made a lovely karma donation. Heading to Vegas for a friend's birthday. Said, thanks for all we do. We hope you have / had a great time.
Yes.
And
thank you.
Wish your friend a happy birthday. All right. Finally, Dane and Lauren. All of their karma donations this year have been successful, so why not try a fourth time, is what all they right. said. Heading to Vegas November 19th to the 23rd, staying at Cosmo. And they said, thanks for the informative and entertaining podcast each week. Some weeks more than others. They didn't say that. I said that. But anyway, thank you, Dane and Lauren.
Yeah.
Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Thank you all so much for your support of the show. It means a lot to us. We do appreciate it. We're going to get caught up on phone calls next week, and who knows what'll come along for news. Who knows what ridiculous structure will be called iconic and set me off on a tirade that is way greater than what it's worth. As always, 500bymidnight.com is the website. 500@gmail.com is the place to send your Dear Tim and Michelle questions. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini.
I haven't been on Twitter so much lately. I've been enjoying a little break from the internet.
Yeah,
tried to correspond with me in that way.
That's why you may not be so quick to respond. Taking a little much needed break. Nothing wrong with that. Everybody needs a little time away, I heard you say.
From each other.
702-866-9494 is the voicemail line. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, reviews, whatever you have about Las Vegas that you want to share with us, give us a call. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. We hope you have a good week, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.